Lesson 15, Samuel, His Birth and Mission. All Israel knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet. The work of Samuel the prophet involved the transition of a nation from anarchy in the times of the judges to the establishment of the kingdom of God under David, their king. Samuel was the last of the judges, but the first of the order of the prophets that followed him. See Acts 3, verse 24. Samuel is associated with Moses in the estimation of God as having a long-lasting influence for good upon his people, as it says in Jeremiah 15, verse 1. He can also be compared with John the Baptist as a forerunner to prepare the way before the anointed of Yahweh. This lesson reveals God's preparation for the establishment of his kingdom by raising up a faithful prophet and leader. The aim of this lesson will be to show how important early training is for God's children. This lesson is taken from 1 Samuel 1 and 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 11. The birth of Samuel, taken from 1 Samuel 1. A Levite named Elkanah lived in Ramah near Mount Ephraim with two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Hannah was favored by her husband, but she failed to have children and was thus mocked by Peninnah, who had children. Every year, all the family made a pilgrimage to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was set up, to worship and sacrifice unto God. But the feast was an occasion of sorrow for Hannah, for she fretted for a son. On what such occasion, in the door of the tabernacle, Hannah poured out her heart in prayer. She vowed that if Yahweh hearkened unto her prayer and granted her a son, she would present him unto him all the days of his life. He would be like Samson, a Nazarite, separated and holy unto God. See number 6. His life would therefore be consecrated in the priestly role of service to God, though he would not be an actual priest of Aaronic descent, as was established in Numbers 18, verse 7. Eli the high priest was at first mistaken as to Hannah's conduct and rebuked her for her drunkenness, which could well have been the case in the degenerate society of his time. She protested her soberness and wholehearted dependence upon Yahweh. Realizing her God-fearing character, Eli added his prayer to that of Hannah. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition, as it says in verse 17. God answered Hannah's prayer, and in due time a son was born to her named Samuel, which means heard of God. After a period of weaning the child, Hannah joyfully set forth to go to Shiloh to present Samuel unto the service of Yahweh, who had so wonderfully answered her prayer, as it says in verses 26 to 28. See also the power of prayer in James 5, verse 16, Luke 11, verses 1 to 13, James 1, verse 5, James 5, verse 11, and Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21. The training of Samuel, taken from 1 Samuel 2. Little detail is given regarding the education and training of Samuel. However, two things combined to impress upon Samuel's receptive mind the principles of worship. Firstly, he was brought up under the watchful eye of Eli, the high priest, while in constant contact with the things of God. Secondly, he was regularly visited by his parents, who no doubt imparted loving and sound advice to him, as it says in verse 19. Such instruction is vital for young people developing godlike characteristics when confronted by gross immorality and ungodliness about them. We can imagine Samuel's shock at witnessing the wickedness of Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and also his determination at a tender age to avoid contact with them. The lesson of Samuel is one of separation and a childlike teachableness. Later Jesus said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven," as it says in Matthew 18, verse 3, and Matthew 19, verse 14. The instruction of children in God's law was more than a duty. It was a divine command, as it says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 to 9. Proverbs shows the wisdom of training up a child in the way he should go, for when he is old, he will not depart from it, as it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6. A note of tragedy is struck when we read of the laxity of Eli's control over his sons, as we read in 1 Samuel 2, verses 12 to 17, verses 22 to 25 and 29, in 1 Samuel 3, verses 11 to 14. This is also condemned by Proverbs, as we read in Proverbs 29, verses 15 to 17, and Proverbs 13, verse 24. Three times in the record, Samuel is greatly contrasted with Eli's sons. It is recorded in verses 11 to 12 that the child Samuel did minister unto Yahweh before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not Yahweh. And again in verses 17 to 18. The sin of the young men was very great, but Samuel ministered before Yahweh, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And again in verses 25 to 26. They hearkened not unto the voice of their father, and the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with Yahweh and also with men. Here Samuel foreshadows the character of Jesus, who, as a youth, increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man, as it says in Luke 2, verse 52. It is somewhat ironical to see that the same Eli who guided the godly and obedient child Samuel had sons who rebelled against the instruction of their father. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, is Paul's instruction to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, verse 1. And he adds, for this is right. The world encourages children to disrespect their parents by challenging what they say and stand for. Children brought up in the truth must not do so. A respect such as the child Samuel showed is the example for us to follow. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth, as we read in Ephesians 6, verses 2 to 3. Samuel and John the Baptist. It is significant that many points of similarity can be traced between the births of Samuel and of John the Baptist, both of whom were appointed as forerunners to prepare the way before the anointed of Yahweh. First, Hannah was barren, as it says in 1 Samuel 1 verse 5, and so also was Elizabeth, as it says in Luke 1 verse 7. Second, both these faithful women took their sorrows to Yahweh in prayer, and he heard their petitions, as it says in 1 Samuel 1, verses 10 to 11 and verses 19 to 20, as well as Luke 1, verse 13. Third, both children were to be consecrated as Nazarites, separated to the service of God, as it says in 1 Samuel 1, verse 11, as well as Luke 1, verse 15, also Numbers 6, verses 1 to 5. Fourth, in commemoration of the mercy extended to them, both women uttered similar songs of praise and thanksgiving, as it says in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 10, as well as Luke 1, verses 42 to 45. Fifth and finally, notice also the names of the two children. Samuel, meaning heard of God, and John, whom Yah has graciously given. And in the Hebrew, that is Johanan. Thus, both Samuel and John were messengers sent to prepare the way of the Lord, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, as it says in Mark 1, verses 2 to 3. Samuel transformed the nation in large measure in readiness for the time of the monarchy. He even wrote the Constitution, as we can read in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 25, while John prepared the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the near future, Elijah must come and perform a work which is similar to that of both Samuel and John. He will restore all things, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and of the children to the fathers, before the great and terrible day of Yahweh, as it says in Matthew 17, verse 11, as well as Malachi 4, verses 5 to 6. The work of Samuel. Samuel was a Levite of the sons of Korah, of the family of Kohath, a family whom David later appointed in charge of the service of song in the tabernacle, as it says in 1 Chronicles 6, verses 31 to 38. And note that Shemuel in verse 33 is Samuel, and you can compare that to verse 28. Although not a descendant of Aaron, and therefore not a priest, Samuel offered burnt sacrifices and offerings, as it says in 1 Samuel 10, verse 8, and was appointed to anoint Saul and David as successive kings of Israel, as it says in 1 Samuel 9, verse 16 and 10, verse 1, as well as 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. As the one whose work was to turn the nation from the anarchy and ungodliness of the days of the judges to the acceptance of a righteous ruler in King David, Samuel's major work was to be an instruction of the people. He had an annual circuit of cities which he judged, as it says in 1 Samuel 7, verses 15 to 17. The Apostle Peter classes him as the first of the prophets, as it says in Acts 3, verse 24. Also compare Acts 13, verse 20, as well as Hebrews 11, verse 32, and 1 Samuel 3, verse 20. Previously, there had been seers, as it says in 1 Samuel 9, verse 9. So Samuel's work seems to have been one of establishing an official role of prophets, who in the days of the monarchy would, with the priests, be an influence for good upon the king. The life and ministry of Samuel bring to us a glorious hope, but also at the same time a somber warning. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of Yahweh shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. Yahweh shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed, which is the Messiah, as it says in 1 Samuel 2, verses 9 to 10. The lessons for us, then, are that first, Samuel is a prime example of the principle to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Second, Samuel's mother dedicated him to God's service in thankfulness for giving her a son so that from a young child he was associated with the worship at the tabernacle. Third, the training Samuel received from his mother under the hand of Eli developed in him a devotion of Yahweh's service. And fourth and finally, the Bible calls upon children to honor and respect their parents.